The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Vibrational medicine, along with alternative therapies, can mean total body wellness for you. This is Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health with Lynn Waldrop. Vibrational medicine encompasses many modalities: sound, color, light, magnets, and more. You'll learn how to use these proven concepts to stimulate muscles, organs, and bones to their natural state of resonance. Now, here's your host, Lynn Waldrop.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Good Vibrations. For all of you on the East Coast, our hearts go out. I hope everybody's being safe today and staying indoors and getting out of this flooding in the water. And today we have an exciting show. We have Marilyn Bradford on, and she's a psychotherapist with a specialty in addiction for over 20 years. She had her own addiction issues and tried every type of addiction and counseling, and they only helped to manage some symptoms but disempowered her until she finally co-founded Right Recovery for You with Gary Douglas of Access Consciousness. So welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you, Lynn. I'm just delighted to be here.
So happy to have you. Marilyn and I know each other from Access, and she's been in it way longer than I have. And she's a fascinating speaker, so I know we'll enjoy the J. You can also, if anybody's interested in hearing more of Marilyn, she has her own radio show on World Puja, which is www.worldpuja.org on the first and third Monday of every month. So you can go and listen to her more in terms of addictions. And I think by the end of the day, people are going to be very surprised at what addiction really is.
Yes. Because so much of what people pick up from this reality and so much of what they're told about addiction just isn't true. And it's one of the reasons that most treatment programs have such huge failure rates.
So let's jump right in. So what are some of these myths that there are around addictions?
Okay. And these are some of the things that I found based on my own experience and based on helping other people, both before I found Right Recovery for You and all of the tools that we created, and afterwards. Some of the myths are that once an addict, always an addict, or once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. What traditional treatment programs do is they show people how to manage their symptoms, and they tell them that basically it's a hopeless condition. What I've found for myself and for many, many other people that I've worked with is that you can actually walk away and end any addictive or compulsive behavior. The difference is moving from just managing the symptoms to actually going to the core and root of what creates addiction in the first place and undoing all of those choices that the person has made that put them in this place of seemingly no choice. So that's one of the biggest ones. Also, I always, always encourage people, do not identify yourself as an alcoholic or an addict or whatever it is. And I hope later we'll talk about some of the many, many, many different, and some people will find unusual ways that addiction actually shows up. I mean, if you go out, if you say, okay, my name is Marilyn and I'm stupid, what are you going to be able to create in the world? Anything?
A whole lot of judgment.
A whole lot of judgment. And if you go out and you say, and I said it for years, hi, Marilyn, my name is Marilyn and I'm an alcoholic, the only thing I create is making sure that I stay an alcoholic. So what I always tell people to do is just step back from that behavior. You can say something like, hi, my name is Marilyn, and I've been choosing to engage in a lot of drinking recently. However, I'm working at making some changes there and getting all of me back. So that's another thing is, please, 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 I tell people, don't say I'm bulimic or I'm a gambler, or I'm a smoker. Anytime you identify with something like that, you just lock it into yourself, your being and your body, and you make it that much difficult, more difficult to overcome. So avoiding that identification is really, really helpful. There's a lot out there about how addiction is a disease. Well, really? I mean, we choose these things. It's actually a series of choices. So why would it be put out there as a disease? Treatment for addiction, whether it's eating disorders or it's alcohol and drugs or gambling or sex, is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Wow.
If this were not put out as a disease, insurance would not pay for treatment. So it has to be listed as a disease, or a lot of dollars would be lost, and a lot of people would not be able to go to therapists and treatment centers and all those kinds of things. So that's another one of the myths. Another is that you're powerless. And the way I like to talk about powerlessness is, suppose I'm standing in front of a brick wall and I've decided that I have to fight with it and go right through it. And I don't have any tools. I'm probably not going to be very successful. But if somebody comes along and says, hey, Marilyn, why don't you step back from that brick wall a few feet? You might see that the wall is only 5 feet wide and you can go around it. Or they might say, hey, Marilyn, here's a ladder, you can go over it. Or here's a shovel, you can get under it. But in any case, it's not about having to take something head on, and I always talk with people about that. It's not about fighting with the target of your addiction. Yes, in this 10 seconds, you may be powerless today to stop the drinking or to stop the whatever. But if you're willing to take some steps back, get a different perspective, get some accurate information, and get some tools that really work, you can walk around it or go over it, or however you choose, you can move beyond it. So that's another one of the myths. Also, one of my faves is the idea that addiction is this sort of dirty little secret and it only happens to people under the bridge and all of that kind of thing. And it's usually about alcohol and drugs. Actually, addiction shows up in many, 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 many different ways in this culture and this reality. And actually, this culture and reality promote many kinds of addiction, such as workaholism, spending, making lots and lots and lots of money, caretaking other people. So addiction can show up not just in the traditional ways, but those also being a victim. It can show up as being addicted to judgment. It's not so much the target of addiction as how it actually is used, how the target is used. So that, you know, for instance, the obvious one, alcohol, some people have a couple glasses of wine with dinner every once in a while. They're just using the alcohol. The alcohol is an evil, and it's not, you know, no target of addiction is ever that. It's just how people use the particular drug of choice or process or whatever it is for them. I mean, you can help someone out of a rough situation and not be addicted to rescuing people, or you can be compulsively rescuing other people. So it can show up in just a huge, huge, huge variety of ways. Being wrong, that's a huge one for people with any kind of addiction, is underlying that, is that addiction to being wrong. So those are some of the main myths that are perpetrated out there that are actually not true.
And some of the people that I find that come to me, probably because I've struggled with this, I think, at parts of my life as well, is eating. Mm-hmm. And eating is a huge addiction these days.
Yes, eating disorders, and one of the reasons as a psychotherapist that I would never work with eating disorders is because the prognosis was so terrible. Basically, people were told, you know, we can manage your symptoms, we may put you in the hospital, we may monitor everything you eat and look through all your belongings to see if you're hiding food and go to the bathroom with you to make sure you're not binging. And I was like, that's just too depressing. I can't do that. And then I found, I mean, really, Like, I'm just not up for that one. I'm sorry. But then I found with the Right Recovery Tools, I had a woman who had called me, and she said, would you work with me? I'm bulimic. I've been bulimic since I was a teen. And I said, well, I don't know. I'll give it a try. I had never worked with, as I said, eating disorders before. But we worked in a very non-traditional way, as I do, and in four sessions, she was over it. She was 40. She'd been bulimic for over 20 years. So that's the kind
of, you know, when I think of eating disorders, though, I think of the people that don't eat a whole lot. When I'm talking about eating disorder, for me, it's just the compulsion to eat, like just ridiculousness. My husband opens a bag of chips to watch TV, and it's almost like, I have to have those. He can't eat that whole bag. I have to have some of those. If he eats the whole thing, then I won't get any. And it's like, what is this craziness?
Yeah, it's the insanity that we're actually taught by this reality that something outside of us is going to fix us and change us. And there's a whole lot of reasons how the cravings and the compulsivity gets set up. And that's a lot of what I go into in my work, in the Right Recovery for You work. But it's not about, once again, it's not about intervening with the symptoms. It's about taking the person back to look at the judgments and conclusions they made about themselves and life and scarcity and what's possible and what's not possible, and redoing those. We're talking about what I call restoring the power of you, of empowering people to have all of them, to take all of those parts and pieces that they've cut off and to take them back. Because here's the thing, Lynn, once you actually have all of you, once you show up as all of you, there's no place, there's no pull to any kind of addictive or compulsive behavior. As one of my clients put, who had come to me originally for what he described as alcoholism and what his doctor had said, he was an alcoholic. He said, you know, Marilyn, it just occurred to me, I hadn't even thought about drinking in 3 weeks. It just isn't in my universe anymore.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's not about working some kind of daily program where you're constantly, okay, if I don't do this, I'm going to go back and drink and crave and all of this. It's about having so much of you back that there's no reason to go to any kind of process or substance or anything in order to get a fix. You don't need a fix.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more with Marilyn, but I want to give you her website. It's www.rightrecoveryforyou.com, and you can contact Marilyn through that for any of her programs or a session. And Marilyn, you want to take a second and give them, you have a couple telecalls that are coming up in case they want to kind of get a taster and see what you're like.
I do. I have a two-session telecall coming up called It's the Holidays Help, or Help, It's the Holidays, which is all about how addiction brings, or rather the holidays bring out a lot of addictions for people. So it's a sort of a sanity and survival guide to the holidays. And that starts in November. And then I'm going to have an Are You Eating to Live or Living to Eat call that begins probably in January. And I'm going to do another of my ending the primary addiction, wrongness, and the judgment of you. And that will start sometimes early in the year, too. So thank you for that, Lynn.
So please go to her website and check it out because she has a huge success rate. Again, it's www.rightrecoveryforyou.com, and we'll be back in just a minute.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio, Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you tired of feeling stressed out, can't sleep, and in pain? Learn how to use vibrational medicine as your new first aid kit. While healthcare costs are climbing and there are more and more pharmaceutical side effects, there is another choice. Contact Lynn Waldrop at www.soundcolorandlightforlife.com and see how 1 hour can change your life. Depression, gout, Parkinson's, sciatica, neuropathy, surgery recovery, tennis elbow, ACL tears. You can have a quicker recovery and live the active life you've always wanted to. Visit SoundColorAndLightForLife.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Good Vibrations with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is lynsgoodvibes@att.net. Now, back to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, if you've just are just tuning in, we have Marilyn Bradford. She's a psychotherapist with especially in addiction. She's been an addict herself, and she co-founded the Right Recovery for You system. And we're talking a little bit more right now. We're going to get her story. Welcome back, Marilyn.
Thank you.
So can you tell the audience a little bit about what your story with addiction is?
Sure, I'd be happy to, because my story is like a lot of people's stories. Addiction actually begins in childhood, although it's generally not identified there. But I, when I look back on it, had an addiction to pleasing others and to sugar and to trying to be the perfect little girl. And what I mean by that is I was willing to sacrifice myself and to know that I had real value and to look for something outside of myself to fix me that I could lose myself in. So eventually, I mean, I kept making choices that I was wrong and I was bad and I needed to do what everybody else did and what I was told to do and all of that. Even though sometimes that looks like the rebel, eventually I developed what was diagnosed as an addiction to alcohol as well as sugar. I also had an addiction to cigarettes, which I was actually able to end on my own. And I had a quasi-eating disorder. I wasn't so anorexic I was ever put in the hospital, but I got down to in the 90s, which is a pretty low weight for me.
Wow.
So I had a lot of stuff going on. And I ended up going to therapy, and then I ended up going into an outpatient treatment program and joining the traditional program for dealing with, quote, alcoholism. But the interesting thing for me was that I was also at that time going to graduate school to become a clinical social worker. And the traditional programs are really about disempowering people. They're, you're powerless, you can't do it on your own, you need to take a moral inventory where you, I mean, people say, what was it like? I say, well, here's what you do. Every day for 2 weeks, in the morning and in the evening, ask yourself where you're, and make a list, write it down, where you are selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid, and see how you feel after 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going, wait a minute, this is the only thing that can work for alcohol, because that's what you're told, basically, by your sponsor, by the people in the group. And yet I was taking courses about empowering people, and I couldn't make it fit, so I kept trying other programs. I kept, you know, I did a lot of whatever else is out there that's actually pretty well known, things like Rational Recovery. And I got something from each of them, but I couldn't see that any of them were actually all of that empowering to individuals. It seemed to be it was always about saying there was something wrong with you. And then I got to Access Consciousness, and I didn't go there for the reason of dealing with any form of addiction or mental illness or anything. I went there because I was just, I had a couple of sessions, and I was so amazed at how much they cleared away in a short amount of time. Both things like the bars and then the verbal process. It's like, I got to find out what this is about. So I started going to classes, and eventually I said, started using the tools with my own clients, and they were getting better faster. And I was like, that's really interesting. I've had all this professional training as a therapist. I've bought into all this stuff about how you're supposed to work with addiction, and I start using these tools and techniques that have nothing to do with traditional anything, and they're working way better. Okay, I got to pay attention here. So then I went to Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, and I said, hey, can we do anything with these tools and addiction? And he's like, absolutely. And we sat down together, and basically he gave me this whole download of possibilities, and he's still extremely supportive. And the same as with Access, the Right Recovery for You is constantly evolving, and that's one of the things I love about it. It's about empowering individuals, asking questions, and seeing what else we can add to it. It's not a fixed program that's slapped on top of you the way so many programs are. Okay, we've already decided what the correct answer is for you. Plop, you adjust to this. No, we're all about, Right Recovery for You is all about, you know, helping people to have the tools and information so that they can use them and however they would like to use them and move on, and also just to create their own targets. I'm getting a little ahead of myself about how it's different. But so what happened for me was that I still wasn't drinking because I wasn't drinking because I'd bought into a lot of what was told to me that if I ever drank again, I would die and I was, you know, a permanent alcoholic. And anyway, I usually take myself to Santa Fe for a week in the winter. And I was in Santa Fe. I was having a nice lunch, and I made a great connection with my body, which is another thing that is really, really helpful in coming out of any addictive or compulsive behavior. So I said, okay, body, because my body will now talk to me, what would you like to drink with lunch? It was a wintry day, and I was in Cafe Pascual's, and I thought, you know, do you want coffee? Do you want tea? Do you want a San Pellegrino? Those are my three favorite choices. And my body said, I want a glass of wine. And I'm like, really? And she's like, I'm like, okay. Following the energy. So I ordered a glass of wine, and I drank most of it, but not all of it. And I was, what I realized immediately was that it had no pull for me. It was so different. And I've been using the tools about 2 years. Is that right? Yeah, I think that's about right. It was so different from when I used to drink. And I still find, because I always enjoyed wine, I can enjoy wine now. Or whatever. I don't just generally tend to drink hard liquor. And it doesn't matter. The target of my program is not for people to drink. But it's just, this is as part of my story. I made the choice, and not everyone does, to go back to allow myself to have a glass of wine if I feel like it. The point of it is I had all of the symptoms of what a classic alcoholic was. Blackout. I was told I had the allergy to it. I mean, I really had every one of the checklist symptoms, except I hadn't gotten into any legal difficulties. Other than that, I had it all. Compulsive drinking, unable to stop, you know, drinking enormous amounts. None of that exists for me today. None of it. So I was my first success story, I guess. Even though I'd been giving these tools to people and they were also having success stories.
Is part of it, Marilyn, taking the requirement and the absolute necessity and the compulsiveness out of it?
Well, it's actually not so much what you take out of it as what you put into you or what you reclaim of you. It's people don't really get how detrimental many of the standards and basically rules and regulations and belief systems of this reality are to individuals. Because what I find with almost all people who have addictions is that they had a sense of not fitting into this reality from very early on. It's like somebody didn't give me the manual here. Why are these people doing these things? This is crazy. This makes no sense to me. So, and people are often told, you know, you're too curious, you're too active, you're too sensitive, you're too this, you're too that. And so they begin to diminish themselves in order to try to become the pretzel that their families and schools want them to be. And so it's really about undoing the process of self-diminishment and encouraging people to be the different that they are without, oh my gosh, nobody's going to like me, I'm not going to fit in. No, you're not going to fit in, as I said to a client. And she was an incredibly attractive young woman who worked in business. I said, look, you don't fit, you never have, and you never will. And she burst into tears, and she came for alcohol, and she said, thank you so much, Marilyn. Nobody ever told me that. I'm okay with not fitting. I don't have to try to fit in anymore. I can work with you and develop who I truly am, and I can still pretend to, you know, do what people require of me to do, but without judging myself as wrong. So it's really about assisting people into returning to who they truly are beyond the bounds of what they're told they should, that you should be a doctor, you should have 2.5 children, you should make this amount of money, you should live here, you should do that. It's really about restoring to people the power of knowing what they know to be true for them and giving them the tools to do that, giving them the skills and the information that allows them to actually not be so much the effect of everyone and everything around them. Does that make sense?
It does. What it brings up for me is how can you truly tell if you are engaging in addictive behavior? I mean, most people I know, people that come to see me, and you have to remember I'm a sound therapist, a color therapist, so I'm kind of in the different realm anyways.
Right.
So people that come to see me, they're definitely different, or they're grasping for straws. They already know they don't fit in. And
right.
So that could be a huge population then that all have the, you know, the possibility of being an addict of some sort.
Right.
So
well,
how can you tell if your behavior is addictive?
Yeah, you want to look at things like, do I use a substance or a process to avoid? Am I willing to be really present right here in the moment, in the now? Am I willing to be totally present? Or am I constantly going to the past or the future? What am I using to help myself feel better outside of myself that I've decided is the only thing I can use to help myself feel better? Or when I have an awareness coming up, and this is a little bit more subtle one, but when I have an awareness coming up that I don't want to have, like my marriage is falling apart or whatever, what do I go and do? Do I go run another 10 miles? Do I go, you know, eat an entire box of popcorn or cookies? What do I do when I have something that I've decided is unpleasant? Another one is, do I judge myself all the time? Because addiction to judgment is huge. Have I decided that I'm wrong? If you have a lot of judgment and decision that you're wrong, generally speaking, you're going to be sure there's some form of addictive behavior. And what it is so much, Lynn, is it's really about avoiding the pain of the decisions and judgments we've made about ourselves from this reality. So most people have, and I don't mean to, this is going to come across as a little funny, because I remember walking into meetings and people saying, if you have a drink, you're an alcoholic. I was like, oh, get over yourself. But I would say in this broader definition, most people have, or many people have, some form of addictive behavior simply because they need some way to escape a lot of what the pain of being present has become for them, or the overwhelm. What I find about people who have addictions, you can ask yourself, am I psychic? And I'm not talking about reading tea leaves or even tarot or anything like that. I'm talking about picking up the thoughts, feelings, and emotions of everyone around you, assuming they're yours because nobody told you they weren't, and then judging yourself because you're not doing anything about them, or you're trying to figure out where they came from or something like that. So it's addiction is really a place where people go that is comfortable, even if it's uncomfortable because it's judging. It's comfortable in the familiar sense, and they can avoid for a while the awarenesses they don't desire to have, the pain of judging themselves, the pain of being different and not fitting in, because nobody told them that actually it was probably a good thing that they didn't fit in. So a few other things that come up for people you can notice in yourself. Are you willing to truly receive from others, from the universe, or are you doing the I have to do it all by myself, the sort of John Wayne approach? I'm a good giver, but don't you try to give anything to me, because then I'll be obligated and I'm not doing obligation and I've got these barriers up in this castle around me and I'm going to get it
You're
all
You're calling my name, Marilyn. You're calling my name. And on that one, we're going to take a break and you can come back and fix me. We'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Are you tired of feeling stressed out, can't sleep, and in pain? Learn how to use vibrational medicine as your new first aid kit. While healthcare costs are climbing and there are more and more pharmaceutical side effects, there is another choice. Contact Lynn Waldrop at www.soundcolorandlightforlife.com and see how 1 hour can change your life. Depression, gout, Parkinson's, sciatica, neuropathy, surgery recovery, tennis elbow, ACL tears. You can have a quicker recovery and live the active life you've always wanted to. Visit soundcolorandlightforlife.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Good Vibrations with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is linsgoodvibes@att.net. Now, back to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we have Marilyn Bradford. She's a psychotherapist with a specialty in addiction. And we've talked a lot already about how addiction doesn't necessarily show up the way you might think that it does. So hopefully you'll go back to, and listen to the first part if you haven't heard the whole thing. So welcome back, Marilyn.
Thank you.
So we're having a lot of fun here. I'm learning that I'm addicted to a lot of things. But one of the things that really kind of sparked for me that you mentioned was, you know, my son, when he graduated high school about 2 years ago, do you know that like 80% of his class was on an antidepressant, a bipolar, which I don't even think they're really bipolar, some kind of drug. And it just seems like these kids are so aware of what's going on in their family situation, their divorces, their new nuclear family, you know, all this kind of stuff, that they can't handle all this.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And also, if you look at what happens at school, you take people who are highly creative, you take kids who have enormous amounts of energy and are running around, and you're asking them to sit in rows, to linearize their realities completely, to work for 50 minutes on this topic and 50 minutes on this topic on 50 minutes on this topic, and to memorize a lot of it. It's insane, and they know it's insane. So they're looking often for some way to escape that. Also, you know, what you were talking about when you introduced this is so right on about the kids being aware of, say, parents' divorces or the pretense that the family is, you know, happy, those kinds of things. When I first got out of graduate school, I worked at a psychiatric hospital for about 3 years. And we had a concept called the identified patient, so that Mary would get checked into the hospital for depression or alcoholism or bipolar or whatever. And we'd go, okay, so who are the real patients here? And a lot of times it wasn't Mary. Mary was the one who was doing the symptoms for the family, while the whole rest of the family was pretending that everything was just wonderful. And they were the all-American family, and nobody was getting beaten or abused, and their relationship was just great, even though everybody hated themselves. And, or even in more simple cases, where it seemed to be kind of an all-American family, but the child or the mother, whoever it was like, you know what, this doesn't work for me. I don't want to stay home and be a housewife and mother. I want to go conquer the world. Or I don't want to go to work in a 9-to-5 job in corporate America. I want to be an artist. Or people just realizing that even though it looked good on the outside, that's not how they wanted to run their lives. And I think for a lot of kids, they're not getting people who are present with them, who are acknowledging them. And a lot of families, it's like, well, this is how the Smiths do it.
It's keeping up with the Joneses everywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, whether it's happiness or getting the kids a car or being on a drug.
Or making sure your children are in 47 sports and gymnastics and violin, and when maybe all they really want to do is sit under a tree and read. You know, so you're taking these people and you're saying, if you don't fit in and buy into all of these concepts and shut up and twist yourself into a pretzel, we're going to label you as having a problem and we're going to give you a drug for it. And that's a lot of what happens. It really is.
So let's talk a little bit about the discovery of the primary and the secondary addictions and how that fits in with your approach.
Okay, thank you for that, because this was huge for me. I had always looked at addiction since working with Right Recovery as something that began early on, and as all addictions, as their label is, having the same core root causes, and that's accurate. But what I found was there's actually primary and secondary addictions. The secondary addictions are all of the ones that we're used to, like being addicted to the internet or spending or overeating or undereating or gambling or whatever it is. But the primary addiction that I have found with everybody who has a secondary addiction has been being addicted to judgment and the wrongness of you. And one of the reasons that people relapse so often if they're able to, say, stop an addictive behavior with the help of friends or a program or this or that, and then they go out and relapse, and the relapse rates are enormous, it's because they have not cleared this primary addiction to being wrong. Because if you stop taking the drugs or you stop avoiding your awarenesses, say, by constantly fixing other people, when you let go of that behavior, the awareness of all of the judgments and the wrongness of you is so overwhelming that without the right tools and information, people really can't do much else but go back to their addictive behavior. Because that keeps that awareness at bay. And it's interesting, because when I was looking back at how I worked with people with addictions, even before Right Recovery, I was always about empowering people, even if it seemed to be counter to what the traditional treatment says. It was like, it just didn't make any sense to me to disempower people. I couldn't do it. So I was always about empowering people. And it's actually that helping people see right from the get-go that they're not wrong, and giving people the tools to get out of judgment of self, that helps them to begin the process where they can even look at the secondary addictions. So coming to terms with this basic judgment of self and wrongness and am I doing enough and am I doing it right and how else can I prove it and I made a mistake, that and the perfectionism and all of that, coming out of that and the polarity of that into a space of knowing what's true for you is what really begins to give people the choice over their addictive or compulsive behavior.
So, Marilyn, what do you have to say? Because to me, one of the biggest quandaries in terms of a question I ever came across was why you have children that are kids of severe alcoholics. I'm talking, you know, dad beating mom and going to jail for DUI and all this kind of stuff. And then they still turn around and become the same thing.
Well, one of the concepts that's helpful for people often is what I call the language of addiction. So you speak English, correct?
Yes.
And why?
I try anyways.
How did you learn that, Lynn?
From my parents.
Yeah. We speak the verbal language of our parents, but we also learn to speak the energetic language of our parents. And the language of addiction is an energetic language. And it's basically, its concepts are things like you're never present with another. Whenever there's any kind of upset, you avoid. You find something else somewhere to take up to mitigate the pain of that. You never deal with anything directly. You judge by appearances or what people say, not actually by what's true or what people do. So it's all about your pretending. And this is what kids learn energetically from watching their parents who are alcoholics and addicts or have other forms of addiction.
So is it they're just learning from them or they're literally taking on their belief systems?
They're literally taking on the belief system and the behavioral systems of avoidance, of not being present, of not ever acknowledging others, of not honoring self. You learn to cope with the world, generally speaking, in the way your parents cope with it. So if they're speaking that language of addiction where everything's black is white and everything's the opposite of what it appears to be, then you're going to pick that up and you're going to find some way to present that in the world because that's the only thing you know. I can't speak Swahili or German because my parents didn't teach it to me. You can't speak the language of true, authentic self and being if your parents didn't speak that to you.
This hurts me to even hear because, you know, when I was growing up, it was always the parents that were at fault. And I always swore when I was older, I was never going to blame the parents. But we're right back to the parents again.
No, I'm not. And one of the other things is I tell people I never blame anybody. Everybody has choices. And if you chose, I believe we choose our parents. If you chose your parents, it must have been for some reason. What'd you get out of it? And what can you be and do different now? And what could you choose now? Because if you blame people, you make yourself a victim. And making yourself a victim is a sure way to stay with addictive behavior and never move beyond it.
Awesome.
You want to see what happened in the past that you're still holding on to and influenced you, but it's not about mucking around in the past just for blame and that kind of thing.
So if you guys want to look up Marilyn, she's at www.writerecoveryforyou.com, and we'll be back in a moment.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you tired of feeling stressed out, can't sleep, and in pain? Learn how to use vibrational medicine as your new first aid kit. While healthcare costs are climbing and there are more and more pharmaceutical side effects, there is another choice. Contact Lynn Waldrop at www.soundcolorandlightforlife.com and see how 1 hour can change your life. Depression, gout, Parkinson's, sciatica, neuropathy, surgery recovery, tennis elbow, ACL tears. You can have a quicker recovery and live the active life you've always wanted to. Visit soundcolorandlightforlife.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer.
The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Good Vibrations with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is lynsgoodvibes@att.net. Now, back to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health.
Welcome back, everybody. And we're continuing our conversation with Marilyn Bradford. She's a psychotherapist and dealing with addiction for over the last 20 years and co-founder of the Right Recovery System for You. Her website is www.rightrecoveryforyou.com. And so, Marilyn, what do you ask of your clients? If I'm a client and I think I have some addiction problems, what if I come to see you, what are you going to ask me to do?
Well, I'm going to ask a couple of things. But what I don't ask ever is for you to stop completely, because that's one of the ways that people stick themselves and actually underscore the idea that they are permanently powerless. One of the things I ask clients is, okay, what would you like your target to be for our work? And it's amazing what people say. See, if it's alcohol, some people say, well, you know, I'm just done with it. I don't want to ever have it in my life. I'm like, cool. If people say, you know, if it's alcohol, you know, I want to be able to drink socially. It's like, cool. I begin by having the clients tell me what their target is, because that's one of the first steps to empowerment. The second thing that I always ask my clients, and people are like stunned, is what's right about your addiction you're not getting? I remember I had a woman who came in. She was drinking 2 bottles of wine a day, and I said, what's right about your addiction you're not getting? And she's like, there's nothing right about it. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's the worst thing. I hate alcohol. It's the devil. And I'm like, okay, what's right about your addiction you're not getting? And we kept going on and on and on. And finally, I said, so what does it do for you? And she's like, well, it keeps me from being aware that my relationship with my husband really isn't good and our marriage is falling apart. I'm like, okay, what else does it do for you? She said, well, it's the only thing that I actually can use to calm me down. I've made it my only source of relaxation. Okay, what else does it do for you? She said, I go out in the back, the patio of our house in the evening with my wine, and everybody knows not to disturb me.
Ah, that's, it's like putting up a do not disturb sign.
Yeah,
I like
exactly.
That.
That's my way. And anyway, Lynn, we went through and we found 8 things that the alcohol did for her that she was convinced, because she didn't yet know, she didn't have any other way of fulfilling. I said, well, with that in place, how could you possibly stop? Let's look at, because that was her target, let's look at ways that you can begin to fulfill some of these other things that this behavior is doing for you. Now, that in and of itself is not going to completely change the behavior, but it's a very helpful piece for people in the beginning. What else could you do to find comfort, or to put up a, hey, I've got to have a half hour by myself, or to, you know, find ways to deal with the awarenesses that you really don't want to have? So that's one of the questions that I always, always, always ask my clients.
And are some of those truths and some of those not? Because, you know, I have some clients that may drink on their way home from work, even though they know that it's illegal and they're going to get in a lot of trouble if they ever get caught. But they think that it is calming them down by the time that they get home. And what I find is that's not even a truth. That's just a perception they have.
Yes. Well, and that's it. Addiction is about lies that we're told and lies that we then tell ourselves. And helping people to unravel those, not by this direct confrontation kind of thing, but, okay, I get that that's the way you calm down. Is it possible that there's another way that you could calm down? The difficulty with addiction is it's about totally giving your power over to something else. So you have to find ways to help people empower themselves so that they realize they don't have to be giving that power away to something else. But, you know, one of the mistakes people make is by confronting things. I mean, if someone confronts you head on, Lynn, what do you do?
Usually that wall goes up and I start backing up.
The walls go up, the Uzis come out, and,
nope.
You know, because we're strong and potent people. So you have to use a kind of a around the side approach and just let people know, okay, I get that that's what you're doing. I'm wondering how that's work, how else that's working for you, or what else it's creating in your life. Are you happy with what it's creating in your life? Can you see any negative effects? I get that you see the positive effects. Just get a dialogue going if they're willing to start a dialogue. And that's the other thing, is that if people aren't ready to change what's going on for them, there's absolutely nothing that you can do. And I want to emphasize that because so many people are like, I've tried everything and I failed with my spouse or my partner to get them to get into some kind of recovery. I'm like, yeah, you can't do it for them or to them or anything. Everybody has choice. Now, that includes the partner. They're like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. My husband won't change or my wife won't change or whatever it is. I'm like, well, what would you like to generate and create as your life? Because you're right. They don't give any indication of changing. So truth, is it expansive for you to stay with them? If so, what would work for you? What doesn't work for you? Is it expansive to leave? So I
begin asking questions. Do you counsel people then that are the codependent spouses or partners or whatever?
Oh, absolutely, all the time. Because their addiction is to the other person.
Gotcha.
That fixing them is going to somehow fix their life. No. Fixing you, and I don't even really mean fixing, but learning to empower yourself and to use some of these tools is what's actually going to change things for you. And the ironic thing is that once you change, the people around you, generally speaking, will change too, because you're creating a space where you are no longer that being, particularly the spouses who've been trying to fix other, you know, fix their husbands or wives.
Yeah.
You're getting away from that. There's, you know, telling the other person there's something wrong with them, they need to change, into, okay, this is what I'm doing. If you want to come along, great. You don't want to come along, great. People are like, what? What are you talking about?
And that is so empowering right there.
Yeah.
So, Marilyn, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I want to talk a little bit about your telecalls that you have coming up, because she's just, as you can tell, Marilyn's a very dynamic speaker, and her telecalls are fabulous. So give them a little bit of a hint and a taster of what you've got coming up again.
Okay. Once again, I've got a great just two-part call that's coming up starting in November called Help, It's the Holidays, because so many addictions come out in the holidays, spending, overspending, overeating, overdrinking, over-caretaking of the family, trying to fix everybody and everything. And basically, it's a survival guide. Got some great tips and tools and information to help people have a really sane holiday season where they can take care of them and not fall prey to everybody else's insanity.
Then wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yeah. I mean, really, don't we all need that?
Yeah.
Then I'll be having another one of my series, Are You Eating to Live or Living to Eat? And this is about our disordered relationship with food, basically. So many people, and this is not just for people who believe they're overweight or underweight or whatever, pretty much all of us are taught from early on to have a very distorted view of our bodies into food and eating and what it is for us and what it isn't for us and what our mothers taught us and what we learned in the womb and all of this. So it's about gaining, once again, all of what I do is about gaining freedom of choice so that you don't feel like you're the effect of anyone or anything. And that show is also about helping people disconnect from everything that the experts have told them so that they can begin to truly know what they know, what works for them and their bodies.
And they can sign up for both of these calls at your website, correct?
Yes. I don't have the Eating to Live up right now, but I will very soon. We're just working on the final
date. So, guys, again, check out out her website at www.writerecoveryforyou.com. And Marilyn, thank you so much. This has been a fabulous show. I know I've learned a lot about addictions.
Well, thank you for having me, Lynn. I really enjoyed it, and I so appreciate the way that you interview. It's just great. It really opens it up.
Well, thank you so much. And again, if anybody wants to hear more, Marilyn, she's on www.worldpuja.org twice a month. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Anthony Salzarulo on, and I hope we have him on because he is in New York City in downtown Manhattan, and I tried to call him today, and there is no phone service. So hopefully we'll have things back up, not just for the show, but just for New York in general by then. He is New York's alternative health doctor. He does all different kinds of vibrational therapists, as well as he's an iridologist and a homeopath. So that's what next week's show is going to be on, and I hope you guys have a very, very healthy week.
Thank you again for joining us for Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health. We hope you'll tune in again next week, Tuesday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, for another edition with your host, Lynn Waldrop, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a good and healthy week.